Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the first epistle, General Peter, chapter 2, and the first part of verse 7. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, and the first part of verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 2, and the first part of verse 7, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. The dear apostle Peter could truly write this from experience, because if ever a man had known the preciousness of the dear Lord Jesus, it was dear Peter. And of course this was wonderfully manifested in his life. But as I say that, immediately there will be those of you that would say, ah, but it was this Peter that denied his Lord and Saviour in the judgment hall. And the reason why that was permitted was because of Satan's great power, and two, because Peter was, and he had to prove it, a poor, weak, fallen sinner. And left for one moment, we would deny the dear Redeemer. We trust we will all be kept from it. But, you see, the Lord Jesus had great mercy on Peter, didn't he? And as I've often mentioned, the Lord didn't say anything to him. He had told him beforehand what would take place. Satan hath desired to have thee and sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And you think when that cock crew, after that third time Peter had denied his blessed master, the arrows of divine conviction went home into the heart of Peter. And he went out and wept bitterly. And that look, that look of the Saviour to Peter was a wonderful look, really. Not only was it of conviction, but too it was a look of love and a look of mercy. And Peter was to be brought to know the dear Redeemer as his precious Saviour. And may we be brought right into the reality of this text. I got home last evening after the service, was greatly concerned what we should bring before you today, and I tried to beg of the Lord he would speak a word to me. And in a moment the Lord dropped this text into my heart. Unto you, therefore which believe, he is precious. You see, it's a personal word, and as Peter wrote to those tribes scattered abroad, strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia. They were God's dear children, he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. They were elect people, and it was thee that this word was spoken to. Now, may the Lord help us to look into it a little this morning. Firstly, does it concern your heart and mine? Are we among the elect? Because the Lord has an elect people. They're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And he will make that election known, firstly by calling. Well could the apostle say, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You know, many have questioned why the dear apostle put calling before election. Because the calling is the proof of election. Like with Saul of Tarsus, the Lord called him on that Damascus road, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. And this was a wonderful proof. Here was an elect vessel of mercy, chosen in Christ. Before the foundation of the world. And these in those scattered parts that we have named, there were those elect children, you see, and this word is spoken to them, unto you. Nobody else, not the wicked, not those that are ordained unto eternal damnation, but unto you. Therefore, which believe, he is precious. My great concern was, and it quite melted me when the Lord dropped this word into my heart, you see, unto you. And I felt, I don't want to presume in any way, but I felt a sweet comfort there, unto you. You see, it's like a dear mother or father may speak to their dear children personally. It's not for the others, it's for that particular person, unto you. And my great concern is, as we name this text this morning, that the Lord would speak it right into some poor sinner's heart this morning, unto you. Therefore, which believe, he is precious. See, it's all very well for collective preaching. I had a woman say to me, we don't want so much of the personal experience. What we want is a collective ministry that involves everybody. I said, well, my dear, I can't do that. We must know the dear Saviour personally, as our Saviour, our Redeemer. Our all and in all. And he says unto you, therefore which believe, he is precious. Now, there are two things that have been really laid on me which I want to help to look at. Firstly, them that believe. This promise of him being made precious is to them that believe. I know what you'll say immediately, oh, but I'm so often plagued by unbelief. And you feel it, don't you? And you mourn over it, and you grieve over it. Well, poor soul, just for your encouragement, it doesn't trouble the professor of religion because he says he always believes. But it troubles the child of God, and it's an evidence that you have a little faith and God-given faith to believe. That's why you're plagued with the unbelief. And you feel it. You see, for us to truly believe, we must have faith. Oh yes, God-given faith. And I know what many say, oh, but I seem to have got so little faith. We read of those, don't we, in the Word of God that were great in faith when there were those that were of little faith. Jesus reproved them, the disciples, didn't he? And you think of the faith they were given. Oh, ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? But you know, the real child of God, and know what it is to be plagued with unbelief. And I want to look at a few characters in the Word of God that were given this faith to believe. But before I do that, what does this really mean, this faith to believe? Well, faith, when it is given, looking at it in a real natural way, it means the Lord has given the sinner sweet assurance that they can believe. And secondly, the soul that really is blessed with faith, all their hope, all their salvation is centred and fixed in a precious Jesus. He's their only hope for time and for eternity. And faith reaches out for Christ. Oh, it does. Faith in the sinner's heart, and it's given in the new birth. We read in the hymn, don't we? Faith owes its birth to sovereign grace and is the gift of God. And what a gift it is, isn't it? When you see many millions wallowing in sin and going further and further, you've only got to look around today in this dark and solemn day where God is forgotten for the most part. And many deny there is a God. But the real child of God will have that faith to believe in him, faith to trust in him, faith to look to him, faith to lean hard upon him. He is their salvation. But look at the wonderful faculties of faith. I did hint at it a little yesterday about having strong hands, the hands of faith. You know, your late beloved pastor, Mr. Sperling Tyler, was a master in going into really what faith was. And I remember him speaking on one occasion of the wonderful faculties of faith. Now, you think of it concerning a little babe when it's born with all its faculties. And it breathes. It's got the breath of life in it. And if there's faith in our souls, there'll be in our soul and in our heart a breathing out unto God for help, for deliverance, for pardon, for peace. Breath is so vital to us naturally, isn't it? And you know, to have a breath of real living faith, and then you can believe poor soul. But then secondly, there are the little babe's eyes. It opens its eyes, it looks. It's attracted by this and by that as it begins to grow. and look at it spiritually. Faith, the eyes of faith, will ever look to the dear Lord Jesus. If we are left in our natural state, our eyes are looking to the world, they're looking to self, they're looking to man, they're looking for this and looking for that. Our poor eyes wander, don't they? But look at the eye of faith. The eye of faith is only attracted to one blessed source, and that's to the dear Redeemer. And why is it attracted to him? Because everything the sinner needs is found in him. Oh, it is. We sing in the hymn, don't we? None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. And you think in times of trial and times of trouble and times of affliction and things in providence that weigh you down, where are you looking for help? Where are you looking for deliverance? The eye of faith, heavenward. Looking to the Lord. You think of dear Jonah in the fish's belly. What did he say? Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. It was no use him looking to the left hand or to the right, was it? It was no use him looking to himself. No man could deliver him. He was out of the reaches of all men. All he saw as he looked to the right, all he saw as he looked to the left, was darkness. But what does he say? I will lift up mine eyes. I will look again toward thy holy temple. And the Lord gave him faith to look, didn't he? And what was that holy temple he had to look to? None other than a precious Jesus. And what did the Lord do? He delivered him from that great fish and from all the trouble he was in of soul and of body. Brought him out. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eye live straight before thee. It's a wonderful word that is. I remember when I preached at Braintree, it must be back in 1976 or thereabouts, and I received Mr. Fox and Mr. I can't remember the man's name now, but Braintree into the church that day. And I never forget, I preached from that word, you know. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids straight before thee. And dear old Mr. Wilde and Mr. Fox, you know, they were so overcome by it. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyes, where are thine eyes this morning looking? Look to Jesus. Mercy flows through his dear wounds, his wounded side for sinners. And then, of course, there are the babe's hands. It's amazing how a little babe, you know, the grip they can have with their little hands. They may get hold of mother's finger and they hold it tight or something else. But think of it spiritually. The hands of faith, like the little hands as I named yesterday, reaching out of the little babe for its dear mother. Those hands will reach out for Christ. And those hands are one to embrace him. You think of the spouse in the Song of Solomon, when she went out into the streets and lanes of the city. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? She wanted to find him. But when she found him, what do we read? She held him and would not let him go. And you know, that's what faith will do. If you have a little glimpse, I just say a little glimpse, maybe more, the Lord's a sovereign, of the dear Redeemer, what will faith do? The hands of faith will embrace him. Oh, it will. And won't let him go. Why? Because everything in him is all what your soul needs. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. But then, of course, there's the legs of faith. And as the little babe grows, that will begin to use its legs and crawl and then walk, won't it? And sometimes, you know, they take a long time to walk. There are many of the Lord's dear people. He's put them in the narrow way. He's given them faith. They seem to crawl along by faith. We read of those that walked by faith. Tis by faith and not by sight Christians yield obedience. And then you see there's a walking like we witness on Friday, a walking in the Lord's ways. Walking by faith. And that's a wonderful thing. You read Hebrews 11 of all those that died in faith. They all were brought to believe, weren't they, in the dear Redeemer. I know what you say. Oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. Well, they're just a few of the faculties. We know there are many others. But, you see, just as with the little babe, those faculties are real. And the loving mother and father, they behold those and they view those faculties and they look for them and encourage by them. The child is got life and it is growing. But then you see, there's a growing in grace. And look at it spiritually. How wonderful it is. The Lord blesses his dear children with faith to believe in him. And our text speaks unto you, therefore, which believe. He is precious. Well, let's look at a few of the characters as helped in the Word of God. There are three really that seem to rest upon me. We think first of all of the dear man in Mark chapter 9 whose son Satan was trying to destroy. The Lord Jesus had just descended from the Mount of Transfiguration and he come back into the valley, which was a valley of tears. And this dear man brought to him his son, who was possessed with a deaf and dumb spirit. And we read this, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. We see here how soon unbelief can creep in. Those dear disciples that were being given power by the Saviour to cast out devils, to heal the sick, but on this occasion they could not. Jesus reproved them because of it. And we read this, and how he reproved them. And when he was come unto the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth but by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. And the reason they couldn't cast him out was because of their unbelief. But look at the dear man, and this is the point. He took the child to the right place. And are you taking your burdens, your concerns, your loved ones, your great troubles of soul to the right place? He brought him to the Saviour. And how lovingly Jesus was to deal with the case. And we read this after the disciples couldn't cast him out. And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times hath cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. And then the dear man says this, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And immediately Jesus returned the if to the dear man. You know, as one of our hymns speaks of all the ifs and buts and hows that Satan will bring into the heart of the child of God, causing them to doubt. If thou canst do anything, the dear man says, have compassion on us and help us. Then Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If thou canst believe, and it may be you're in something today. You got there, with this case, you see, as in many others, the case looked impossible. Man could not, and even the disciples couldn't deliver it. But if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And what was the Lord to do? He was to sweep away, and I speak that lovingly and reverently, all the unbelief in the heart of the dear man. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Is that your prayer this morning? It's a good prayer, you know. Really, we need to pray it all every day, don't we? Sometimes maybe times in the day. But the Lord would take away all that unbelief. You see, all the time we're plagued with unbelief, there's doubt in it. Oh, there is. It's a sin. Terrible sin, really, is unbelief. But oh, how the Lord swept it away from the dear man. And he said with tears, you see how honest the dear man was. It came right out of his heart. Lord, I believe, though it seems impossible, thou canst do it. And he said it with tears. Help thou mine unbelief. In other words, take away all this unbelief there is in me. And it may be this morning there's those plagued with this sin of unbelief. Oh, that the Lord would so come and take away that unbelief and give us a grain of living faith. What did Jesus say? If ye have faith of a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, depart into yonder hence, and it shall be done. It shall be done. And oh, how precious that is when he gives us a grain of that faith. And then, of course, you have the case of dear Thomas. You remember after 8 days when the disciples were gathered together again and Thomas was with them. And he said, as he heard what the other disciples had said, how they had seen the Lord. And he had risen triumphant from the grave, and they had seen the dear risen Saviour. And then after 8 days, you see, the disciples again were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And oh, how the Lord removed all that unbelief as he shows dear Thomas those pierced hands and pierced side. And Thomas answered and said unto him, Lord, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. There again we see the Lord giving him faith, you see. And it views the wonders God alone can do, faith does. But just briefly, I'm just leaving. We have another blessed case that seemed to so rest upon me. You remember that Lazarus lay sick and then died, and they sent for the dear Saviour to come to heal him first of all. And there were those days that passed and he had not come when Lazarus died. And we read this. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. And Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, he will give it thee. You think of it, poor soul, in your heart and circumstance today. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. Do you believe it? She did. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, and what a blessed word it was, I am the resurrection and the life. And then listen, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He puts her to the test. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe, and can you and can I say it? I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And then, of course, we read that he had been dead 4 days. And how Martha said, didn't she, when they were to open the tomb, by this time he stinketh. And then we read this. So, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha saith, Martha and her, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And then Jesus said this to her. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. And you know the Lord was to give that dear woman that faith to believe. Then took they away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And then we read this, and many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. The Lord gave them faith, you see. And they believed in him and on him. Our text says, doesn't it, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And you know, those that have this grain of living faith given will know the preciousness of Jesus. Those three characters that we have named this morning, Thomas, the dear man in Mark chapter 9, dear Martha and Mary here, and those Jews that saw it all, they were brought to know how precious the Saviour is. And may we be favoured to know more and more of that preciousness and the suitability of the dear Lord Jesus, suited to every sinner's case. Well, I'll leave it for your thoughts this morning. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this word, and may there be given that living faith to truly believe in him. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen.